Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello and a warm welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio Mainstream's weekly look at technology from a blindness perspective. Main Menu is also made available to radio reading information services around the world, as well as being made available on demand from the acbradio.org website. Coming up on a slightly shorter program this week, we hear part two of our demonstration of Easy Reader, a software Daisy book player from the Dolphin Group. Dave's Quick Search Desk Bar, nothing to do with me, I assure you, is the focus of Dean Martineau's first part in his Look at Windows Toolbars series. And finally, DJC takes a look at Accessible Suit Yourself. That's all coming up this week on a one-hour edition of Main Menu. And a warm welcome to the second part of our two-part look at Easy Reader, a software title produced by the Dolphin Group, which allows you to read Daisy talking books on your PC or laptop. The advantage, of course, to reading a Daisy talking book over a conventional talking book are the advanced navigation features that are supported by the Daisy standard. Last week on Main Menu, we discussed the system requirements for Easy Reader. We walked you through the installation, explored some of the basic navigation commands, and looked at the book index. We also showed you how you can configure Easy Reader to suit your preferences. Apart from bookmarking and searching, that's pretty much it for Easy Reader. Essentially, it's giving you that ability to read in a much more interactive way rather than just popping in a tape into your cassette player as we used to do back in the day and just settling down and listening in a very linear fashion. Easy Reader totally changes that. In fact, the whole Daisy standard totally changes our whole approach to reading and how we navigate the contents of our talking books. Now, one way to illustrate that point is to look at a feature I mentioned right at the end of last week's installment, and that was search. So let's return to the Easy Reader main window and press Control S.
Search dialog.
Okay, so as you can hear there, the search dialog has now appeared, and we can just simply tab around here. It's a standard Windows dialog, so we can press tab.
Find all button.
There's a find all button.
Cancel button.
Cancel button.
List box search result.
And there is a list box there where the search results will appear.
Search edit area.
And an edit area where we can enter our search string. So let's search for political and simply press enter.
Start search.
And the software now has gone away and is searching our book here. Raising the Dead, if you remember, was the book we had in at the end of the last Easy Reader demonstration. And so we are now searching.
Search done.
And it's finished. And it's searched the entire text of the book. So we can now move to the list of results.
Find all, but cancel, list box, search result, heading, underline 2, text, political intelligence in Israel is the shared responsibility of free growl.
Okay, so we can hear there is an occurrence of the word political in section 2, and we heard a snippet of the text. And just by pressing enter there, will take us to
political intelligence in Israel is the shared responsibility of three groups.
I'm just going to press space to pause that there. So as you can hear, you've got the text of the book and the audio of the book, and the two are synchronized. So you can use the search feature to move to a particular part of the audio and continue listening with the human reader. Now, so that wasn't the instance of the word political we were particularly looking for. We could return to the search dialog with Control S.
Search political edit area.
And go back to our list of results. Just tab through here.
Find cancel list box search result heading underline 2 text political intelligence in Israel is the shared responsibility of free growl.
So that's the first instance of political, which we found, and we can now use the down arrow key to navigate through the list of results to find the one we were looking for.
Heading, underline 7, text, you took grave political wounds.
You can hear there is a reference to political in section 7 of the book, and if we continue down.
Heading, underline 7, text. Quotes, she most likely thinks that I got this job on account of some political cow.
And again in section 7 there's another reference to the word political.
Heading, underline 25, text, quotes, there's been a complication on the political front.
Okay, so that's another instance in section 25, so I'll just press enter. And the CD is spinning up now.
There's been a complication on the political front. We'll have to push back the schedule.
So I'm pressing space there to pause. So I think, to my mind, that is one of the best features, because it's something I always miss when listening to audiobooks, that I can't just search for the bit of text that I'm interested in. It's obviously something you can do with electronic books, but with many electronic books you have to read using synthetic speech. So really, really bridging the gap there and really stretching the DAISY standard to its full potential. Now, in addition to search, Easy Reader does have a find feature, and as I understand it, the find feature works in a very similar way, except the find feature limits you to the current page. I'm not entirely certain why the restrict options of find weren't included in the search dialogue. We could have perhaps had a radio button to restrict the search to the current page, section, and so on. The other significant feature we didn't demonstrate last week was bookmarking, and this is very straightforward indeed. From the Easy Reader main window, you can press Control B.
Bookmark dialog.
And the bookmark dialog comes up. Now, we've found our reference to political in section 25, so we will bookmark that, and Easy Reader will bookmark at the point at which you have paused the book.
Shortcut, no shortcut, cooldown list box.
So you can hear there is a shortcut list box, and that allows you to assign a hotkey to your bookmark. So you can have hotkeys to allow you to jump between points of interest in the book. So let's select a hotkey here.
Alt+0.
Alt plus zero is the first hotkey. Now, there are ten hotkeys, rather, in total. Alt with one through to zero. It's a shame you can't define your own hotkeys, but there are ten there, so if you need 10 or less bookmarks in a book, then this will be fine for you. So we've selected
Alt+0.
Alt+0 as our bookmark, and I'm going to continue on now by pressing the Tab key.
Text note, edit area.
A text note. So let's put in a text note here. This is the bookmark used for the main menu demonstration.
Audio note unselected. Checkbox.
And there is an audio note feature, although I'm already using my recording device, but what that allows you to do is simply add a voice tag, and you could provide some additional information in that for your bookmark.
OK button.
And there's the OK button. So if I press enter on there.
Easy Reader main window.
And we're back to the Easy Reader main window. So now if I press if I press Control Home to get to the start of the book. Just waiting for the CD to spin up here. And there you go, that familiar music telling us we're at the start of the book. Press space to pause. And now we want to find our bookmarks, so let's use Alt and Zero. And with any luck.
There's been a complication on the political front. We'll have to push back the schedule.
We're back to our bookmark in section 25. And if I want to see just where we are, I can press Alt, Shift, and I to bring up the index. We looked at this last week.
List box index underline 25. Yeah,
and I can press Alt and full stop to mute, although I would prefer it if the left control key would allow me to mute. But we'll get to that in the closing remarks in just a moment. So now, having brought up the index, we can hear we're at section 25. And if I press Control I for additional information.
Book information, time 747.51 of 12. 21.38, heading, underline 25, level 1, no pages in this book, number of bookmarks, 1.
So there you are, you can hear we have a single bookmark, and we can hear that our current position is some 7 hours and 47 minutes into the book. And that compares extremely well with CDs or cassettes. Imagine the number of CDs or cassettes you would have to root through to get to the 7th hour of your book, and we were able to set ourselves a bookmark, and Easy Reader was able to jump to it in a matter of seconds. Easy Reader seems to be a very capable Daisy Book reader, and certainly an option worth considering for your laptop or desktop. I'm the first person to admit that my experience with Daisy is somewhat limited, and I don't have a huge amount of experience to compare this with similar products, although I am aware that similar products exist, and people interested in comparing Daisy products should look at the Daisy website at alderws.daisy.org. Having said that, there were a number of issues with this product which struck me as being a little bit odd. Certainly, as an experienced Windows user, there were certain aspects of this software which I didn't find completely intuitive. And with a product like a Daisy Book Reader, one would expect the product to be very, very easy to use. Certainly, the copy we received for evaluation was simply a CD in a CD sleeve. We didn't receive any additional product documentation other than that supplied on the CD itself. If you decide to try the demonstration version of Easy Reader, you'll find that it only works with the material supplied on the demonstration CD itself. Unlike many products, the demonstration isn't a timed demonstration. It doesn't work for a limited amount of minutes or days. It just simply restricts you to the material on the demonstration CD. This may be adequate, however, I did find this mildly unusual. In Dolphin's system requirements for Easy Reader, or recommended system requirements, Dolphin say you should have a minimum of a 400 MHz processor and 64 MB of RAM. I think this is a little bit conservative. I would recommend that people wanting to use Easy Reader on a regular basis would probably want a system with a slightly higher specification. Generally these days, 400 MHz and 64 MB of RAM is a relatively low specification machine. You will find that you'll get better performance if you use Easy Reader's built-in speech or self-voicing rather than using your screen reader. I've found that with two or three screen readers that I've tried in conjunction with Easy Reader, the performance is relatively sluggish, and you will get better performance from Easy Reader's self-voicing. Which brings me on to another point. In the Easy Reader documentation, Dolphin themselves acknowledge that it's not possible to configure the speech synthesizer from within the Easy Reader application, and hopefully this is something that will be addressed in a future version. As demonstrated last week, the installation process itself is relatively long-winded. Particularly if you choose a custom install, you could find yourself going through a number of screens, and I'm convinced that some of those dialogues could be amalgamated to speed up the process of installing Easy Reader. In terms of the interface, the Easy Reader hotkey set seems to be fairly confusing. Easy Reader does attempt in some areas to use standard Windows hotkeys, and this is good. Keys like Control Home to go to the start of document, or Control N to go to the end of document, or Control O to open a new book. All of those keystrokes will be familiar to the experienced Windows user. However, some of the keys, Alt and Comma to repeat the last announcement, and Alt and Full Stop to mute the current speech, is somewhat confusing. The single biggest feature that I would like to see added to EasyReader that doesn't seem to be there at present is some way to browse the actual text of the book with a cursor or a virtual cursor. At the moment, you can, of course, search on the text and navigate the text in phrases and chunks using the synthetic speech. However, using a screen reader or the self-voicing, I think it would be useful if the user could jump to a window and navigate the text a letter or a word at a time. The product most similar to EasyReader in its functionality, I suppose, would be Victor Reader Soft, demonstrated on Main Menu previously, and interested parties should search our Main Menu archive at allthews.acbradio.org/mainmenu.html to listen to that demonstration. Naturally, this review has only really skimmed the surface of EasyReader, and I'm sure there are features that we haven't covered. Currently, the cost for EasyReader at the time of recording is £36 or $53, and obviously that price in dollars will depend on the exchange rate at the time you decide to buy. For more information about EasyReader, you can of course visit the Dolphin website at allthews.dolphinse.com. That's www.dolphinse.com. And the one word I would use to describe EasyReader at this stage is potential. I think the program has a lot of potential. It certainly provides access to the full range of DAISY features, and in fact has more functionality than perhaps some of the hardware DAISY players. EasyReader is a relatively young product, and I'm sure in the coming years we will see it grow and mature.
Greetings to the Main Menu community throughout the world. This is Dean Martineau. This is the first of a two-part series on toolbars that can enhance your web browsing and web searching experience. I know that a lot of us, at least I, for sure, haven't always embraced the idea of toolbars, and indeed, often we don't need to. Most programs that we find, you can accomplish what you need to accomplish without bothering with toolbars. Let the mouse users have them. But here are a couple cases where toolbars are the program and where the toolbars add real definite functionality. This time around, I want to talk to you about something called Dave's Quick Search Desk Bar, DQSD, available, not surprisingly, from www.dqsd.com. I first heard about this, incidentally, thanks to a blurb that I picked up off of Amy's Filters and Forwards service, which is a great for-fee service where she emails important adaptive technology information out to subscribers. That's one I wouldn't be without. DQSD is free, which, of course, is both a blessing and perhaps a bit of a hindrance. It's a blessing in the sense that it doesn't cost any money, but it's perhaps, there may or may not be a lot of motivation to make it any more accessible than it already is. However, I find it to be useful, and I will describe it to you, and you can decide what you want to do with it. It's an open source project, so lots of people are contributing to it. It's designed that way, and it will never cost any money. The program, it's a little toolbar that sits down on the taskbar, and once it's there, it gives you a front end to search the web. It doesn't add any functionality to what you can already do on the web. It just makes it available in a different way. If you already know about all the searches, there are some 250 of them programmed in here and more coming all the time, and you already have them bookmarked and you already have an easy way to get to the search box on the search page, that part's not hard, then DQSD probably won't really help you very much. However, I know that I myself discovered a whole lot of searches I didn't know existed from studying about DQSD and reading the documentation and playing with it, and have definitely added some things to my repertoire in life that I didn't have before. I'm going to describe how this works and give you a number of examples of things you can do with it. And the reason I'm doing that now is because there are a few problems with the program. So I'm going to describe to you what I do with it and what you can do with it, at least some of it, I'm not going to cover anywhere near all the 250 searches. I haven't tried an awful lot of them. But then you can decide if it's worthwhile, and then you can decide if you want to try to tackle some of the little anomalies that come up, which will variously make the program either unusable or a little mysterious, depending on your situation. DQSD can be launched in two ways, but for right now, let's just talk about the easy way, the keyboard shortcut. There's a programmed shortcut, Windows key S, that you can use to launch it. And that keyboard, that keystroke can be modified, which is a good thing, because some of us have keyboards that don't have a start menu key. When you hit Windows key S, you are put into a situation. You're usually put into Forms mode for JFW, what's turning MSAA mode off in WindowEyes. You enter a search, I'll talk about that in a minute, and you hit Enter. The search is conducted on the appropriate web page, and the result page opens up in Internet Explorer. This is basically a command line search utility. People who used computers in the old days are going to find this very, very familiar, because what you do is you type a little keyword, type in whatever it is you want to search for. You might add a switch. Switches are little modifiers that are preceded by a slash key, the slash being the one under the question mark, the forward slash, and then you hit Enter. The appropriate page is open in Internet Explorer, the search is conducted, and you're placed on the result page. This is very familiar territory for anybody who used computers in the old days, because it's a command line. You just type a command line in, and it conducts the search. Some examples, and probably a number of examples, will serve to illustrate. So I'm going to tell you what I've done, and both in terms of my own use and in terms of testing. One day not long ago, I wanted to call a friend in Perth, Australia. I didn't know what time it is in Perth for sure, so I thought I'd better check this out. So I hit Windows key S, put myself into Forms mode using JAWS, and type in WC space Perth, Australia, and hit Enter. I'm taken to the World Clock page, and I have the time. Next thing I needed to know was the telephone calling code, telephone country code for Australia, which I also don't remember because I haven't called very often. So another flick of Windows key S. In Forms mode, I type TCC space Australia and hit Enter, and I go to the country code database, and I'm able to find that out really easily. Tracking packages. I have a UPS email message containing a UPS tracking number. I copy that tracking number, hit Windows key S, type UPS space, paste the tracking number, hit Enter, and I'm taken to the UPS page with my tracking number there already for me to see where my package is and when it's going to get to me. You probably begin to get the idea, and there's an awful lot more. As I say, there are around 250 searches, and you can add your own. I'll talk about that a little bit later. In the news area, the default behavior of DQSD, if you just type a search and hit Enter, is it launches a standard Google search. Well, the switches come in handy here. So, for instance, if I type in a search for a term and add slash GL to that, I'm searching the Google glossary. If I add to whatever my search string is a slash GR before I hit Enter, I'm searching Google Groups, the really wonderful database of all the Usenet posts going back to, I don't know, somewhere in the early 1990s. If I add slash N to the end of my post, I'm searching the Google News site. If I add slash FR, I'm doing a shopping search, a product search on frugal.google.com, one of those wonderful little shopping comparison places where you can check prices for all kinds of different products. And there are several others of those on DQSD as well. In the news and weather area, there are a couple of Australian aggregate news sites you can search. And for weather, we have WUG, which will search Weather Underground, and AW, which searches AccuWeather.com. I can put in, at least I know in WUG, I can put in both a city or a state or a country or a zip code, and with AccuWeather.com, you put in a zip code, and you're taken right to the weather for that particular area. For Canadians, you can always search TWN, the Weather Network. DQSD gives us a nice, easy way to do currency conversions. What you do, once you get your DQSD window open, is you type a number, then you type the currency that you're in, a greater than sign, and the currency you want to find out the conversion to. And there is a database available on the website that is involved here of just a huge number of currencies all over the world. But the ones we probably care most about listening to this program are Canadian dollar, CAD, Australian dollar, AUD, Euro, EUR, pounds, GPB, and US dollar, USD. So if I wanted to find out what something that costs 50 euros is going to be in American dollars, I would type 50 space EUR greater than USD and hit enter, and I'm taken right to the page with the results. I can get driving directions a couple of ways, but the one I've used involves MapQuest. The shortcut is DIR, so I type DIR space street, comma, city, comma, state, the word to, T-O, street, comma, city, comma, state, and my page comes up with the driving directions. Phone numbers. You can type number sign, because some of the searches can be launched with a punctuation mark if you want to. Number sign, space, name, left paren, city, comma, state, or just left paren, state, right paren, and use switchboard.com to search for that person in the white pages. Or number sign, and then the same kind of syntax, searches the yellow pages. However, a better yellow page search I found is YP, which is the Yahoo yellow pages search. Movie information. I can find out by typing either Fandango or by typing YM, and I think there's even another one or two I didn't check out, for Yahoo Movies, followed by a zip code or a city state, and get movie listings, showtimes, in my area. I can type RT for RottenTomatoes.com or IMDb for Internet Movie Database, followed by the name of a movie, to get reviews or articles or both concerning a particular movie. I can type ALM, followed by the name of a band, to get information about that particular music group in the All Music Database. And lest I forget, back to driving directions, there's a UK driving directions site. Also, on movies, there's a French movie site. And on phone numbers, there's also a Brazilian map site. I forgot about the Brazilian map site. And for phone numbers, there's a Canadian phone number site. So I can't forget about these. While the searches are predominantly North American-oriented or perhaps a North American-slanted, there are people who have written searches to get you to web pages that are non-North American in nature, which is kind of nice. For dictionaries, it's pretty easy to type in a word or a phrase or paste in some text and type from colon, say, en to colon es or fr or de or any of various other languages to get translation of that word or phrase into or out of English or any number of other language combinations. You can type dic, D-I-C, and a word to get various definitions from various dictionaries on dictionary.com, or you can get the dictionary, the definition of the word with M-W-D, followed by the word, from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. There are a couple of thesauri available. A couple of the sites I haven't checked out include an anagram lookup site. You can get all the anagrams possible for some word, if that works. A crossword puzzle dictionary, and a Scrabble score dictionary, apparently. A search of AR space chocolate mousse takes you to allrecipes.com, where you get 9 results interspersed with ads for different chocolate mousse recipes. There are several encyclopedia projects that are sort of grassroots encyclopedias on the internet that you can look up words in. A couple other, there are searches for Encyclopedia Britannica and Encarta. The searches work fine, however, you have to be a subscriber now to the encyclopedia. There are a few other searches like that here in DQSD where the search was probably free when they first designed it, but now you have to pay money to actually get the content. That's generally the trend, the way things are going these days on the internet. You can type FS space and then some sound that you're looking for to get to find sounds and have a chance to search for sound files based on the description that you're searching for. There are a host of computer and programming related searches, and I haven't conducted most of these. I did successfully do a search for WGN, Windows Guide Network, and found out that there's a pretty good way to access all kinds of articles and tweaks there for different things, and that's a real great potential. But there are lots of other computer and programming related searches that I haven't delved into, so those of you who want to do that will have plenty of opportunity to explore DQSD and find out some of its possibilities if you download it. There are 3 Bible search sites. I've checked 2 of them out, and they both worked. There's BG for Bible Gateway and SL for StudyLight.org. Both of these allow you to search all or various versions of the Bible, and also there are different lexicons and different other concordances you can search, conduct searches for. There's a search for Project Gutenberg. I haven't tried that one out. In short, there's an awful lot of things you can do with this, and the number of things expands all the time. This should give you an idea of how the program works. So now that I've motivated you or not to try it out, let me tell you the perhaps downsides. The biggest downside that concerns us is going to concern the WindowEyes user community. I made a quick and thorough attempt to use DQSD with WindowEyes 4.5 Beta 2, and I had no success whatsoever. I managed to crash it, I couldn't conduct searches at all. Just did not work. I've had little difficulty, except for the ones I'll describe, using JAWS 4.51 and JAWS 5 Beta. So the WindowEyes user community is going to have to work this one out. Now, I've said that all you do is type Windows key S and type in your search string. The process isn't exactly quite that simple, although it isn't much more difficult, and I'll tell you why. When you type Windows key S, and now all my comments from here on out will be referring to using JAWS because that's all I've managed to make work with DQSD. When I type Windows key S, sometimes I am placed in Forms mode, sometimes I am not placed in Forms mode, and I have to hit Enter to get into Forms mode, and I can find no rhyme or reason to why one happens and why the other happens. However, contrary to what you would think, being placed in Forms mode is not a definite advantage here. Because if you're placed in Forms mode, and you type a search string and you hit Enter, nothing will happen. I found the most sure way to use the program is to exit Forms mode using the PC cursor key, and then hit Enter to go back into Forms mode. Then conduct the search. And even at that point, it isn't quite that simple because of one other little annoyance that could probably be rectified pretty easily if somebody wanted to do it. That is that when you are typing your search query, you get no feedback by backspacing or arrowing. I'm sure, like I say, scripting could solve this one, but I find it's something I can live with. But the downside of it is that sometimes, and I haven't really made a scientific study of how often, when I type in a search query and hit Enter, the previous search query remains in the box, which means that we end up with gibberish. So to avoid that, I have found that the wisest thing to do is, once I got myself out of Forms mode if need be, and then back in by hitting Enter, to simply hit Control-A and hit Delete, and then type the search string. So the process isn't quite as simple as I make it sound. You have to hit about 4 extra keystrokes before you can conduct your search. I don't find this to be a problem, but again, I tell you because maybe you will. Installing DQSD is a little bit of an interesting process. You download the installation program, or you can actually run it from its current location if you want to when you go to the website. Once you have run the installation routine, you have to activate the toolbar. Now, the mouse-oriented instructions that they give are completely useless. What I have found to work, and I have done this on a Windows XP Pro system, is to get to and bring up the context menu for the clock. Once you do that, choose Toolbars from the resulting menu, and once you have run the installation program and you're in the Toolbars menu, you'll have a choice for Add Quick Search. Hit Enter, and no problem, you've got your toolbar for use. When you do this, there is a downside, although I don't find it to be much of a problem. You know how, and I'm assuming that for purposes of this discussion, that you have gone in on your own computer and disabled the Quick Launch toolbar, which is ordinarily located down at the bottom of the screen near the taskbar. You know how you can minimize all apps, hitting Windows key M usually, and go to the desktop, and from there you can tab to the Start menu button, Start button actually, and from there you can tab to the taskbar. And if you're using Windows XP or ME anyway, you can tab to the system tray, and then you can tab back to the desktop. Once you install DQSD, you lose a little bit of that functionality. You can tab from the desktop to the Start button to the taskbar, and you can shift tab back to the desktop, but once you tab again from the taskbar, you actually have tabbed into the DQSD window. This is, in fact, another way of operating DQSD, and there are a couple of reasons why you might want to do it this way sometimes. You can't then tab around again to get to the desktop. You have to Alt-Tab away from here if you didn't want to be here, and then you can resume your ordinary computing operations. I mentioned that you might sometimes want to access DQSD by going to the desktop and tabbing around to it. I used to do it this way. I actually think it's a little more crash-prone to do it this way. There's some things you can do this way that, well, you do them otherwise if you use the Windows key S shortcut key. For one thing, there is an F1 menu. If you hit function key F1, it's supposed to bring down a menu when you're in DQSD. It does not do that when you hit Windows key S and access it that way. However, there's a workaround. If you type in the search box just the question mark character and hit enter, you have the same information that you get off most of that on the menu. And one of the things you can do on the menu is configure DQSD. Well, you can't get to that through the menu if you use in Windows key S, but what you do in the DQSD search box is type configure space DQSD and hit enter, and you're then presented with the configuration options. There are some other utilities that are provided with DQSD, and I'm not sure how terribly valuable they are. For example, there's a countdown timer and there's an alarm clock. And on one test, when I tried using the countdown timer from the Windows key S standard approach of running the program, I crashed it. Now, I don't know if that'll happen again, but it might, and so that worked fine when I accessed the countdown timer from having tabbed around from the desktop and reached the DQSD window that way. The countdown timer isn't all that valuable. You type in a time interval of minutes, and when the minutes end, you get a little message box that pops up and tells you whatever the message you typed in. So it isn't a terribly bell and whistle heavy countdown timer. And the alarm clock operates pretty much the same way. There is, by the way, a JavaScript calculator, and I haven't looked into this too far to know how useful it is, but you can operate this just fine from typing, getting Windows key S and being in the edit window. You type in a calculation, hit enter, then you hit PC cursor to turn forms mode off, and your result is right there ready for you to read. I don't know how elaborate a calculator this is, but it's just something that might be useful for somebody. Now, talk about crashes. I have occasionally, not often, less and less often it seems as I use the program more, I have crashed it every once in a while. When this occurs, you get a little window saying that Windows Explorer has to close. And from then on, in the computing session you're in, you can no longer use DQSD unless you do what I'm about to describe. Of course, you can reboot the computer and then DQSD is ready for you again. So if this happens, you have now restored the ability to tab around from the desktop and tab around your different desktop elements. So again, find and bring up the context menu for the clock. You'll probably find that once you get to the toolbar submenu that the DQSD, that the quick search choice is not checked now because the toolbar isn't there. If that's the case, well, first off, if it isn't the case, find quick search and hit enter to uncheck it, to turn it off, then go back into the toolbar submenu off of the context menu, find add quick search, and hit enter. This will reinstall and re-enable the toolbar for you. I talked about the fact that this little freebie is totally extensible. People are not at a huge rate of speed, but I've noticed that every couple weeks or so it seems like somebody adds a new search to it, and it really isn't too difficult to do, at least on a simple level. This is because Dave, and Dave, by the way, his name is Dave Bau, B-A-U, has provided a DQSD search wizard. I'll talk about this somewhat cryptically because in order to use it, you have to be a little bit familiar with toolbars and not be afraid to mess around with the right mouse button and JAWS cursor and all these kinds of things. So this may not be for everybody, but if you're willing to explore, it might be. What happens here is you have to go to the search page whose search you want to add. For example, I added one for ACB Radio. So you go to ACB Radio's main site, you go to the search window, you hit enter to turn forms mode on, which activates the search so that it's visibly active. You also configure the search so that you click any radio buttons or any other buttons you might want to do so the search works the way you want it to do. Then you have to access a toolbar which you have installed from the DQSD website. This is the Dave's Quick Search Deskbar Wizard Toolbar. Now, the Dave's Quick Search Deskbar Wizard Toolbar installs itself along with your other Internet Explorer toolbars. You may never have cared about your Internet Explorer toolbars up until this time. And when it does that, I found that I had to go into the Customize Toolbars submenu, or dialog, actually, off of Internet Explorer's Toolbars menu, and I had to raise the DQSD Search Wizard Toolbars priority so that it would stay on the screen. Otherwise, the other Internet Explorer toolbars would crowd it off my screen. Once I achieved this little feat, I was then able, once I wanted to add my search, to find the DQSD Search Wizard toolbar and click on it, and this brings up a dialog that you fill in the oldest shortcut key you want to use to launch the search, a description so that you can share the search with other people, and once you hit enter and you give the search a name, you have access to this search. Now, there's more editing that is supposed to be required. In the two searches I've added, one was ACB Radio and one was one of my local newspapers, which has a nice free archive to its articles, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. So I can now hit SPI from DQSD and search the news on my local paper if I want to. That editing process I have not undertaken. Somebody who's got the time and motivation can certainly do that. Maybe I will do so sometime and make a more fancy search that has switches and is a little more streamlined. But I was able, without editing, to make those two searches work. Briefly, the DQSD search wizard apparently takes the HTML of the search page and converts it to XML and does some other things to it. So it would be the XML that you're editing. However, you have plenty of searches to look at for examples to figure out how things are done, and I'm sure that the whole matter is quite learnable. The people who are involved with this little project encourage you to share your searches with others, and it's really easy to do, and there are various email lists that go along with the program, and of course the web page, and a nice place where you can download all these searches. So, will you find DQSD worth the effort? I do. I find it a great addition to my particular computing. Now, the documentation for it is available, as I talked about before, by typing ? From within DQSD, and then that brings up the documentation. Then, once you're in there, it's kind of interesting because you have to go down and hit enter on the line that says expand all, even though it's not announced as a link. Once you hit enter on expand all, you're able to read all the different searches that are available to you, all their syntax, from within DQSD. There are a few things that are supposed to be possible that I have not figured out how to do, and I don't know that I will. You're supposed to be able to use that help feature to put in the search without having the syntax. I haven't figured out how to do that. I can certainly hit enter, but then all that happens is I'm taken to the search page. I haven't figured out how to find the search in the help window and then put in a search string. However, the fact is that for a lot of us, I think the fact that this is a simple command line utility is its beauty. If we're going to have to find a search within a list of 250 others, we might as well just go to the URL ourselves. The DQSD supposedly comes with a clock of its own. In fact, the documentation encourages you to turn off the Windows clock and use theirs to save taskbar space. I don't recommend you do that, even if you figure out how to use their clock, which I haven't ever found. If you right-click on their clock, there's a calendar that's supposed to come up with a pretty extensive database of holidays from different countries. Haven't ever managed to find that, but I also haven't looked very hard. Back to the documentation file, though. Having it available in this way through the web browser in the DQSD window is great as far as it goes, but for some of us, I know I liked being able to read through it, put it in my note taker, read through it, learn the syntax, have an easy way to reference it outside of there, so I turn it into a text file, and I'm going to make that text file available as a service to anybody who wants it through Autoresponder. If you want to get the 75 or 80 or so K file that exhaustively lists everything you can now do with DQSD, you can send an email message, just a blank message, to DQSD, that's Dave, Quick Search, Deskbar, @sound-computing.com. Because this is a bit of a hobby venture, this whole DQSD thing, and I have experience with it on my system, but not on a whole lot of others, I may or may not be able to help you if you have difficulties or if your results differ from mine. If I can, I'll be happy to try it, but I don't guarantee that I can offer any help. If you want to write to me, feel free to do so. You can send me a letter at DEAMAR, DEAMAR, at sound-computing.com, and we'll see what happens. But as I say, I find DQSD a great addition to my web searching repertoire. I've learned a lot from studying about it, and I hope I've passed some useful information on to you, and I am using it on an almost daily basis for one thing or another. Next time around, we're going to talk about the Google Toolbar, which won't help you search a whole lot, but it's going to do some other really wonderful things for you, as far as I'm concerned. So, until we do that, I hope you've gotten something from this, and this is Dean Martineau saying, happy computing from the Pacific Northwest of North America.
Hello, this is DJC at acbradio.org with news and views I hope you can use.
Hello and very special greetings around the world. Once again, I'm Don Coco and I'm with you from Sacramento, California. Today I'm taking a look at a card game called Suit Yourself SV. The card game is put out by the fine folks at gamesfortheblind.com. You can play an evaluation of Suit Yourself SV for 15 days, and the registration cost is $20. This is Solitaire at its finest. If you have heard about Solitaire and never played it, now would be your chance to play it. This is pretty cool, because they've adapted the Solitaire for speech. They use the Eloquent Technology speech in the game itself, so no screen reader is required. The game also may be played by sighted people. The idea behind Solitaire is to match cards. For example, you match all the red and black cards. They have different suits in the game: spades, hearts, clubs, and diamonds. The idea is to match all the diamonds, match all the clubs, match all the spades, and match all the hearts. But I don't mean take a heart, a two a heart, and then on top of that put a three a heart. You may or may not be able to do that depending on whether the card is the same color. If it's the same color, it won't match. So there is some strategy involved to playing Solitaire. It's a fun little pastime game if you're awake late at night and can't sleep. It's a fun little game. Let's take a look at it right now, and we'll play just a sample of the game. We won't play the entire game. It takes a while to play each game, probably a good 10 to 15 minutes, but we'll at least get you started and show you a little bit about the game. Let's go to the start menu right now in the program group, and we are going to go to the an area that says Accessible Games, and we're going to hit return on that. And we have Accessible Suit Yourself. We're going to hit return on that. And we have Accessible Suit Yourself SV. We are going to hit return on that. As soon as I do this, the Eloquent Technology speech will come on and you'll hear that.
So welcome to Accessible Suit Yourself. Difficulty level.
Now we have several different difficulty levels. The first thing I want to do here is I want to turn my screen reader off. No screen reader is required, and in order to play this game, you should shut off the screen reader. So I'm going to do that, and I've now done that. And now,
difficulty level, beginner colon 4 shuffles, 1 of 3.
I can arrow up and down to see what the different areas are. I'm in a list box now.
Intermediate colon 3 shuffles.
So we have 4 shuffles is the beginner level, 3 shuffles is the intermediate level, and
expert colon 2 shuffles.
2 shuffles is the expert level. This game is played using the numpad on the right side of the keyboard, and basically you'll be using the plus key primarily. So let's, it doesn't matter which area I choose here, so let's,
intermediate colon 3 shuffles.
I'll just say intermediate. Hit return.
This game begins with the 6 of hearts and the foundation. The top card on the waste pile is the queen of clubs.
Now, on the waste pile, there are 2 piles, okay? The idea or the object here is to move the card from the waste pile to the foundation. The foundation is the main area of the game. So basically the idea is to pick up a card and move it. Now I have a queen of clubs at the top. Can I play it? I'll find out by hitting return on the game here.
You cannot play this card at this time. The base suit is hearts.
I cannot play this card. So what I'm going to do is I need to find a card and I need to draw until I find a card that I can play. Let's hit the plus key on the right side of the keypad.
You drew the ace of clubs.
I drew the ace of clubs. Now can I play that?
You cannot play this card at this time. The base suit is hearts.
Let's hit plus key again.
You drew the ten of spades.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now I may be able to play this. Let's hit return.
You cannot play this card at this time.
Can't play that one either.
The base suit is hearts.
Huh. Can't play spades. Can't play clubs. Can't play hearts. And I'll tell you why. This I do know why. You can't play these cards because you need to play hearts first. So let's keep going.
You drew the ace of spades. You drew the eight of hearts.
Okay, I can play that, though. Let's do that.
Moving eight of hearts to foundation. Top card is ace of spades.
There we go. We've now done that.
You drew the seven of clubs. You drew the three of spades. You drew the five of hearts. Moving five of hearts to foundation. Top card is three of spades. You drew the two of clubs. You drew the six of clubs. You drew the jack of diamonds. You cannot play this card at this time.
You can't play that one either.
The base suit is hearts.
The base suit is hearts. You do need to play that. Now, we can find out. We can get information in the game. For example, we can hit insert F5.
Jacks is empty.
Jacks is empty. Or we can hit F5.
Top card is jack of diamonds.
That'll always tell you what the top card is. So if you get confused, you can do that. There is help in this game to give you some hints and overviews. For example, if say I want keyboard help, I can press F3 on the keyboard. You have function keys up on top, F1, F2, and F3. Let's hit F3 right now.
The keyboard commands available from the waist are :Enter key, move top card on waist to foundation, numpad plus, draw new card from stock, numpad 5, read top card and waist, numpad insert and numpad 5, read top card and foundation, page up, move to foundation, tab key, move to foundation, page down, read status lines. Special notes : keyboard commands are provided using the keys on the calculator numpad, usually found on the right side of your keyboard. Using these keys, it is possible to play an entire game using just one hand, positioned on the numpad keys. In order to use the numpad to issue commands, the numlock must be off. To turn the numlock off, press and release the numlock key on the top left of the numpad. If you issue a command from a numpad key and nothing happens, try turning off the numlock, as described above. This game uses the word stock to refer to the shuffled deck of cards, placed face down. This game uses the word waste to refer to the discard pile, which are placed face up. To avoid confusion, you cannot move to the stock. Instead, while in the waste, press the numpad plus key to draw a card from the stock. When cards are drawn from the stock, they will be displayed face up in the waste. Only the top card in the waste is visible. When you press the numpad 5 key, the center key, the game will tell you the top card in the waste. When you press the insert key on the numpad and the 5 key on the numpad together, the game will tell you the top card in the foundation for the top card in the waste. For example, if the top card in the waste is the 4 of hearts, pressing the numpad insert and 5 key together will tell you the top card in the 4's foundation, or it will say 4's is empty if there are no cards in the 4's foundation box. Since the base suit is very important, you may press the page down key to read the status lines at the bottom of the game screen window. The base suit is displayed in the status lines along with the number of card shuffles, the number of cards in the stock, and the number of cards in the waste. Note: the key : numpad insert is the 0 key on the calculator numpad, and is the big key in the numpad's bottom left corner. Press the F2 function key for further assistance and an explanation of the term, base suit. Press the F1 function key to display the help topics for this program.
As you can see, they give you a lot of information there, and
close button.
We're going to close the window.
Waste pile. Top card is jack of diamonds.
They also have some options in this game. We'll talk about those right now. We have options here. Let's go under the, press the alt key.
Game menu.
And we have the game menu. We can down arrow.
New game control plus N.
New game control N.
Exit program.
And exit.
New game control plus N.
It's the first menu.
Speech unchecked.
Then we have a speech menu, and the speech is turned on. Now, you could turn the speech off, so a sighted person could play the game without speech.
Global voice ... insert plus G.
Global voice, insert plus G.
Review voice ... insert plus R.
Review voice, insert plus R.
Speak object types.
Speak object types.
Maximum speech.
And maximum speech.
Speech unchecked.
Now, all these refer to the way you have the speech set up, or the way you will set up the speech. you can adjust the rate and the pitch and all that sort of
top
thing.
Top card is Jack of
and
Diamonds.
They also have some voices that come with this game, so you can change the voice if you choose to do that.
You drew the nine of spades. You drew the king of clubs. You drew the three of clubs. You drew the four of spades. You drew the six of diamonds. You drew the five of diamonds. You drew the three of diamonds. You drew the ten of clubs. You drew the king of diamonds. You drew the four of clubs. You drew the nine of hearts. Moving nine of hearts to foundation. Top card is four of clubs.
Now let's down arrow. They said here that you could get information. Let's do that. Let's see if we can read the status line.
Base suit is hearts. Shuffle one of three. 29 cards in stockpile. 19 cards in waste pile. F1 equals help. F2 equals spoken help. F3 equals keyboard commands.
So as you see, they do give you some information. It is a great little solitaire game. If you just want to pass some time, it's fun to play. It's called Accessible Suit SV. And it's available from gamesfortheblind.com.
Feel free to email djc@acbradio.org with your thoughts and comments. Until next time, Don Coco thanking you for listening.
That's all from Main Menu this week. Don't forget, of course, we always welcome your contributions. Drop us a line to mainmenu@acbradio.org.
We are the American Council of the Blind. We are blind and visually impaired men and women who come from every community within our country. We are tall, short, old, and young. Some of us are athletes, and some of us are couch potatoes, while most of us fall somewhere in between. We reflect every ethnic, religious, and racial group within our society. Some of us who received quality education and sound training are working successfully in virtually every profession. Psychologists, auto mechanics, administrators, computer analysts, cooks, and engineers. We are the American Council of the Blind, working to ensure the right to opportunity for education, training, employment, and a meaningful life for all Americans, including those of us who are blind or who have a significant vision loss. For more information, contact us by phone at 800-424-8666 or join us on our website at www.acb.org, the American Council of the Blind. Forging new frontiers for our future.
ACBRadio.org.
You're invited to come on over to Our Place. Our Place is a voice chat community that is now part of the ACB Radio portal. Here, people from around the world can hang out and chat in real time about a wide range of topics using the latest iVocalized technology. Our Place is now open. To join, just come on over and have some great conversation at http://ourplace.acbradio.org. That's ourplace.acbradio.org. The chat room software installs automatically, and all you need is a microphone connected to your sound card. It's easier than walking and chewing gum at the same time. So come on over. We'll be looking for you at Our Place. That's ourplace.acbradio.org.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Hello and a warm welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio Mainstream's weekly look at technology from a blindness perspective. Main Menu is also made available to radio reading information services around the world, as well as being made available on demand from the acbradio.org website. Coming up on a slightly shorter program this week, we hear part two of our demonstration of Easy Reader, a software Daisy Book player from the Dolphin Group. Dave's Quick Search Desk Bar, nothing to do with me, I assure you, is the focus of Dean Martineau's first part in his Look at Windows Toolbars series. And finally, DJC takes a look at Accessible Suit Yourself. That's all coming up this week on a one-hour edition of Main Menu. Hello and a warm welcome to the second part of our two-part look at Easy Reader, a software title produced by the Dolphin Group, which allows you to read DAISY talking books on your PC or laptop. The advantage, of course, to reading a DAISY talking book over a conventional talking book are the advanced navigation features that are supported by the DAISY standard. Last week on Main Menu, we discussed the system requirements for Easy Reader. We walked you through the installation, explored some of the basic navigation commands, and looked at the book index. We also showed you how you can configure Easy Reader to suit your preferences. Apart from bookmarking and searching, that's pretty much it for Easy Reader. Essentially, it's giving you that ability to read in a much more interactive way rather than just popping in a tape into your cassette player as we used to do back in the day and just settling down and listening in a very linear fashion. Easy Reader totally changes that. In fact, the whole DAISY standard totally changes our whole approach to reading and how we navigate the contents of our talking books. Now, one way to illustrate that point is to look at a feature I mentioned right at the end of last week's installment, and that was search. So let's return to the Easy Reader main window and press Control S.
Search dialog.
Okay, so as you can hear there, the search dialog has now appeared, and we can just simply tab around here. It's a standard Windows dialog, so we can press tab.
Find all button.
There's a find all button.
Cancel button.
Cancel button.
List box search result.
And there is a list box there where the search results will appear.
Search edit area.
And an edit area where we can enter our search string. So let's search for
P-O-L-I-T-I-C-A-L.
Political and simply press enter.
Start search.
And the software now has gone away and is searching our book here. Raising the Dead, if you remember, was the book we had in at the end of the last Easy Reader demonstration. And so we are now searching.
Search done.
And it's finished. And it's searched the entire text of the book. So we can now move to the list of results.
Find all, but cancel, list box, search result, heading, underline 2, text, political intelligence in Israel is the shared responsibility of free growl.
Okay, so we can hear there is an occurrence of the word political in section 2, and we heard a snippet of the text. And just by pressing enter there, will take us to
political that. Intelligence in Israel is the shared responsibility of three groups.
I'm just going to press space to pause that there. So as you can hear, you've got the text of the book and the audio of the book, and the two are synchronized. So you can use the search feature to move to a particular part of the audio and continue listening with the human reader. Now, so that wasn't the instance of the word political we were particularly looking for. We could return to the search dialog with Control S.
Search political edit area.
And go back to our list of results. Just tab through here.
Find cancel list box search result heading underline 2 text. Political intelligence in Israel is the shared responsibility of free growl.
So that's the first instance of political, which we found, and we can now use the down arrow key to navigate through the list of results to find the one we were looking for.
Heading, underline 7, text, you took grave political wounds.
You can hear there is a reference to political in section 7 of the book, and if we continue down.
Heading, underline 7, text. Quote, she most likely thinks that I got this job on account of some political co.
And again in section 7, there's another reference to the word political.
Heading, underline 25, text, quote, there's been a complication on the political front.
Okay, so that's another instance in section 25, so I'll just press enter. and the CD's spinning up now.
There's been a complication on the political front. We'll have to push back the schedule.
So I'm pressing space there to pause. So I think, to my mind, that is one of the best features, because it's something I always miss when listening to audiobooks, that I can't just search for the bit of text that I'm interested in. It's obviously something you can do with electronic books, but with many electronic books you have to read using synthetic speech. So really, really bridging the gap there and really stretching the DAISY standard to its full potential. Now, in addition to search, Easy Reader does have a find feature, and as I understand it, the find feature works in a very similar way, except the find feature limits you to the current page. I'm not entirely certain why the restrict options of find weren't included in the search dialog. We could have perhaps had a radio button to restrict the search to the current page section, and so on. The other significant feature we didn't demonstrate last week was bookmarking, and this is very straightforward indeed. From the Easy Reader main window, you can press Control B.
Bookmark dialog.
And the bookmark dialog comes up. Now, we've found our reference to political in section 25, so we will bookmark that, and Easy Reader will bookmark at the point at which you have paused the book.
Shortcut, no shortcut, cooldown list box.
So you can hear there is a shortcut list box, and that allows you to assign a hotkey to your bookmark. So you can have hotkeys to allow you to jump between points of interest in the book. So let's select a hotkey here.
Alt plus zero.
Alt plus zero is the first hotkey. Now, there are ten hotkeys, rather, in total. Alt with one through to zero. It's a shame you can't define your own hotkeys, but there are ten there. So if you need ten or less bookmarks in a book, then this will be fine for you. So we've selected
Alt zero
as our bookmark, and I'm going to continue on now by pressing the tab key.
Text note, edit area.
A text note. So let's put in a text note here. This is the bookmark used for the main menu demonstration. Okay.
Audio note unselected. Checkbox.
And there is an audio note feature, although I'm already using my recording device, but what that allows you to do is simply add a voice tag, and you could provide some additional information in that for your bookmark.
OK button.
And there's the OK button. So if I press enter on there.
Easy Reader main window.
And we're back to the Easy Reader main window. So now if I press Control Home to get to the start of the book. Just waiting for the CD to spin up here. And there you go, that familiar music telling us we're at the start of the book. Press space to pause. And now we want to find our bookmarks, so let's use Alt and Zero. And with any luck.
There's been a complication on the political front. We'll have to push back the schedule.
We're back to our bookmark in section 25. And if I want to see just where we are, I can press Alt, Shift, and I to bring up the index. We looked at this last week.
List box index underline 25.
And I can press Alt and full stop to mute, although I would prefer it if the left control key would allow me to mute. But we'll get to that in the closing remarks in just a moment. So now, having brought up the index, we can hear we're at section 25. And if I press Control I for additional information.
Book information, time, 7. 47.51 of 12, 21.38, heading, underline 25, level 1, no pages in this book, number of bookmarks, 1.
So there you are, you can hear we have a single bookmark, and we can hear that our current position is some 7 hours and 47 minutes into the book. And that compares extremely well with CDs or cassettes. Imagine the number of CDs or cassettes you would have to root through to get to the 7th hour of your book, and we were able to set ourselves a bookmark, and Easy Reader was able to jump to it in a matter of seconds. Easy Reader seems to be a very capable Daisy Book reader, and certainly an option worth considering for your laptop or desktop. I'm the first person to admit that my experience with Daisy is somewhat limited, and I don't have a huge amount of experience to compare this with similar products, although I am aware that similar products exist, and people interested in comparing Daisy products should look at the Daisy website at alltheWs.daisy.org. Having said that, there were a number of issues with this product which struck me as being a little bit odd. Certainly as an experienced Windows user, there were certain aspects of this software which I didn't find completely intuitive. And with a product like a Daisy Book Reader, one would expect the product to be very, very easy to use. Certainly the copy we received for evaluation was simply a CD in a CD sleeve. We didn't receive any additional product documentation other than that supplied on the CD itself. If you decide to try the demonstration version of Easy Reader, you'll find that it only works with the material supplied on the demonstration CD itself. Unlike many products, the demonstration isn't a timed demonstration. It doesn't work for a limited amount of minutes or days. It just simply restricts you to the material on the demonstration CD. This may be adequate, however, I did find this mildly unusual. In Dolphin's system requirements for Easy Reader, or recommended system requirements, Dolphin say you should have a minimum of a 400 MHz processor and 64 MB of RAM. I think this is a little bit conservative. I would recommend that people wanting to use Easy Reader on a regular basis would probably want a system with a slightly higher specification. Generally these days, 400 MHz and 64 MB of RAM is a relatively low specification machine. You will find that you'll get better performance if you use Easy Reader's built-in speech or self-voicing rather than using your screen reader. I've found that with two or three screen readers that I've tried in conjunction with Easy Reader, the performance is relatively sluggish and you will get better performance from Easy Reader's self-voicing. Which brings me on to another point. In the Easy Reader documentation, Dolphin themselves acknowledge that it's not possible to configure the speech synthesizer from within the Easy Reader application, and hopefully this is something that will be addressed in a future version. As demonstrated last week, the installation process itself is relatively long-winded. Particularly if you choose a custom install, you could find yourself going through a number of screens, and I'm convinced that some of those dialogues could be amalgamated to speed up the process of installing Easy Reader. In terms of the interface, the Easy Reader hotkey set seems to be fairly confusing. Easy Reader does attempt in some areas to use standard Windows hotkeys, and this is good. Keys like Control Home to go to the start of document, or Control N to go to the end of document, or Control O to open a new book. All of those keystrokes will be familiar to the experienced Windows user. However, some of the keys, Alt and Comma to repeat the last announcement, and Alt and Full Stop to mute the current speech, is somewhat confusing. The single biggest feature that I would like to see added to Easy Reader that doesn't seem to be there at present is some way to browse the actual text of the book with a cursor or a virtual cursor. At the moment, you can of course search on the text and navigate the text in phrases and chunks using the synthetic speech. However, using a screen reader or the self-voicing, I think it would be useful if the user could jump to a window and navigate the text a letter or a word at a time. The product most similar to Easy Reader in its functionality, I suppose, would be Victor Reader Soft, demonstrated on Main Menu previously, and interested parties should search our Main Menu archive at alltheWs.acbradio.org/mainmenu.html to listen to that demonstration. Naturally, this review has only really skimmed the surface of Easy Reader, and I'm sure there are features that we haven't covered. Currently, the cost for Easy Reader at the time of recording is £36 or $53, and obviously that price in dollars will depend on the exchange rate at the time you decide to buy. For more information about Easy Reader, you can of course visit the Dolphin website at allthews.dolphinse.com. That's www.dolphinse.com. And the one word I would use to describe Easy Reader at this stage is potential. I think the program has a lot of potential. It certainly provides access to the full range of DAISY features, and in fact has more functionality than perhaps some of the hardware DAISY players. Easy Reader is a relatively young product, and I'm sure in the coming years we will see it grow and mature.
Greetings to the Main Menu community throughout the world. This is Dean Martineau. This is the first of a two-part series on toolbars that can enhance your web browsing and web searching experience. I know that a lot of us, at least I, for sure, haven't always embraced the idea of toolbars, and indeed, often we don't need to. Most programs that we find, you can accomplish what you need to accomplish without bothering with toolbars. Let the mouse users have them. But here are a couple cases where toolbars are the program and where the toolbars add real definite functionality. This time around, I want to talk to you about something called Dave's Quick Search Deskbar, DQSD, available, not surprisingly, from www.dqsd.com. I first heard about this, incidentally, thanks to a blurb that I picked up off of Amy's Filters and Forwards service, which is a great for-fee service where she emails important adaptive technology information out to subscribers. That's one I wouldn't be without. DQSD is free, which, of course, is both a blessing and perhaps a bit of a hindrance. It's a blessing in the sense that it doesn't cost any money, but it's perhaps, there may or may not be a lot of motivation to make it any more accessible than it already is. However, I find it to be useful, and I will describe it to you, and you can decide what you want to do with it. It's an open source project, so lots of people are contributing to it. It's designed that way, and it will never cost any money. The program, it's a little toolbar that sits down on the taskbar, and once it's there, it gives you a front end to search the web. It doesn't add any functionality to what you can already do on the web. It just makes it available in a different way. If you already know about all the searches, there are some 250 of them programmed in here and more coming all the time, and you already have them bookmarked and you already have an easy way to get to the search box on the search page, that part's not hard, then DQSD probably won't really help you very much. However, I know that I myself discovered a whole lot of searches I didn't know existed from studying about DQSD and reading the documentation and playing with it, and have definitely added some things to my repertoire in life that I didn't have before. I'm going to describe how this works and give you a number of examples of things you can do with it. And the reason I'm doing that now is because there are a few problems with the program. So I'm going to describe to you what I do with it and what you can do with it, at least some of it. I'm not going to cover anywhere near all the 250 searches. I haven't tried an awful lot of them. But then you can decide if it's worthwhile, and then you can decide if you want to try to tackle some of the little anomalies that come up, which will variously make the program either unusable or a little mysterious, depending on your situation. DQSD can be launched in two ways, but for right now, let's just talk about the easy way, the keyboard shortcut. There's a programmed shortcut, Windows key S, that you can use to launch it. And that keystroke can be modified, which is a good thing, because some of us have keyboards that don't have a start menu key. When you hit Windows key S, you are put into a situation, you're usually put into Forms mode for JFW, what's turning MSAA mode off in WindowEyes. You enter a search, I'll talk about that in a minute, and you hit Enter. The search is conducted on the appropriate web page, and the result page opens up in Internet Explorer. This is basically a command line search utility. People who used computers in the old days are going to find this very, very familiar, because what you do is you type a little keyword, type in whatever it is you want to search for. You might add a switch. Switches are little modifiers that are preceded by a slash key, the slash being the one under the question mark, the forward slash, and then you hit enter. The appropriate page is open in Internet Explorer, the search is conducted, and you're placed on the result page. This is very familiar territory for anybody who used computers in the old days, because it's a command line. You just type a command line in, and it conducts the search. Some examples, and probably a number of examples, will serve to illustrate, so I'm going to tell you what I've done, and both in terms of my own use and in terms of testing. One day not long ago, I wanted to call a friend in Perth, Australia. I didn't know what time it is in Perth for sure, so I thought I'd better check this out. So I hit Windows key S, put myself into Forms mode using JAWS, and type in WC space Perth, Australia, and hit Enter. I'm taken to the World Clock page, and I have the time. Next thing I needed to know was the telephone calling code, telephone country code for Australia, which I also don't remember because I haven't called very often. So another flick of Windows key S. In Forms mode, I type TCC space Australia and hit Enter, and I go to the country code database, and I'm able to find that out really easily. Tracking packages. I have a UPS email message containing a UPS tracking number. I copy that tracking number, hit Windows key S, type UPS space, paste the tracking number, hit enter, and I'm taken to the UPS page with my tracking number there already for me to see where my package is and when it's going to get to me. You probably begin to get the idea, and there's an awful lot more. As I say, there are around 250 searches, and you can add your own. I'll talk about that a little bit later. In the news area, the default behavior, well, first off, the default behavior of DQSD, if you just type a search and hit enter, is it launches a standard Google search. Well, the switches come in handy here. So, for instance, if I type in a search for a term and add slash GL to that, I'm searching the Google glossary. If I add to whatever my search string is a slash GR before I hit enter, I'm searching Google Groups, the really wonderful database of all the Usenet posts going back to, I don't know, somewhere in the early 1990s. If I add slash N to the end of my post, I'm searching the Google News site. If I add slash FR, I'm doing a shopping search, a product search on frugal.google.com, one of those wonderful little shopping comparison places where you can check prices for all kinds of different products. And there are several others of those on DQSD as well. In the news and weather area, there are a couple of Australian aggregate news sites you can search. And for weather, we have WUG, which will search Weather Underground, and AW, which searches AccuWeather.com. I can put in, at least I know in WUG, I can put in both a city or a state or a country or a zip code, and with AccuWeather.com, you put in a zip code, and you're taken right to the weather for that particular area. For Canadians, you can always search TWN, the Weather Network. DQSD gives us a nice, easy way to do currency conversions. What you do, once you get your DQSD window open, is you type a number, then you type the currency that you're in, a greater than sign, and the currency you want to find out the conversion to. And there is a database available on the website that is involved here of just a huge number of currencies all over the world. But the ones we probably care most about listening to this program are Canadian dollar, CAD, Australian dollar, AUD, Euro, EUR, pounds, GPB, and US dollar, USD. So if I wanted to find out what something that costs 50 euros is going to be in American dollars, I would type 50 space EUR greater than USD and hit enter, and I'm taken right to the page with the results. I can get driving directions a couple of ways, but the one I've used involves MapQuest. The shortcut is DIR, so I type DIR space street, comma, city, comma, state, the word to, T-O, street, comma, city, comma, state, and my page comes up with the driving directions. Phone numbers. You can type number sign, because some of the searches can be launched with a punctuation mark if you want to, number sign space name left paren city, comma, state, or just left paren state, right paren, and use switchboard.com to search for that person in the white pages. Or number sign, and then the same kind of syntax searches the yellow pages. However, a better yellow page search I found is YP, which is the Yahoo yellow pages search. Movie information I can find out by typing either Fandango or by typing YM, and I think there's even another one or two I didn't check out, for Yahoo Movies, followed by a zip code or a city-state, and get movie listings, showtimes, in my area. I can type RT for RottenTomatoes.com or IMDb for Internet Movie Database, followed by the name of a movie, to get reviews or articles or both concerning a particular movie. I can type ALM, followed by the name of a band, to get information about that particular music group in the All Music Database. And lest I forget, back to driving directions, there's a UK driving directions site. Also, on movies, there's a French movie site. And on phone numbers, there's also a Brazilian map site. I forgot about the Brazilian map site. And for phone numbers, there's a Canadian phone number site. So I can't forget about these. While the searches are predominantly North American-oriented, or perhaps a North American-slanted, there are people who have written searches to get you to web pages that are non-North American in nature, which is kind of nice. For dictionaries, it's pretty easy to type in a word or a phrase or paste in some text and type from colon, say, EN to colon ES or FR or DE or any of various other languages to get translation of that word or phrase into or out of English or any number of other language combinations. You can type DIC, D-I-C, and a word to get various definitions from various dictionaries on dictionary.com, or you can get the definition of the word with MWD, followed by the word, from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. There are a couple of thesauri available. A couple of the sites I haven't checked out include an anagram lookup site. You can get all the anagrams possible for some word, if that works. A crossword puzzle dictionary, and a Scrabble score dictionary, apparently. A search of AR space chocolate mousse takes you to allrecipes.com, where you get 9 results interspersed with ads for different chocolate mousse recipes. There are several encyclopedia projects that are sort of grassroots encyclopedias on the internet that you can look up words in. A couple other, there are searches for Encyclopedia Britannica and Encarta. The searches work fine, however, you have to be a subscriber now to the encyclopedia. There are a few other searches like that here in DQSD where the search was probably free when they first designed it, but now you have to pay money to actually get the content. That's generally the trend, the way things are going these days on the internet. You can type FS space and then some sound that you're looking for to get to find sounds and have a chance to search for sound files based on the description that you're searching for. There are a host of computer and programming related searches, and I haven't conducted most of these. I did successfully do a search for WGN, Windows Guide Network, and found out that there's a pretty good way to access all kinds of articles and tweaks there for different things, and that's a real great potential. But there are lots of other computer and programming related searches that I haven't delved into, so those of you who want to do that will have plenty of opportunity to explore DQSD and find out some of its possibilities if you download it. There are 3 Bible search sites. I checked 2 of them out and they both worked. There's BG for Bible Gateway and SL for StudyLight.org. Both of these allow you to search all or various versions of the Bible, and also there are different lexicons and different other concordances you can conduct searches for. There's a search for Project Gutenberg. I haven't tried that one out. In short, there's an awful lot of things you can do with this, and the number of things expands all the time. This should give you an idea of how the program works. So now that I've motivated you or not to try it out, let me tell you the perhaps downsides. The biggest downside that concerns us is going to concern the WindowEyes user community. I made a quick and thorough attempt to use DQSD with WindowEyes 4.5 Beta 2, and I had no success whatsoever. I managed to crash it, I couldn't conduct searches at all. Just did not work. I've had little difficulty, except for the ones I'll describe, using JAWS 4.51 and JAWS 5 Beta. So the WindowEyes user community is going to have to work this one out. Now, I've said that all you do is type Windows key S and type in your search string. The process isn't exactly quite that simple, although it isn't much more difficult, and I'll tell you why. When you type Windows key S, and now all my comments from here on out will be referring to using JAWS because that's all I've managed to make work with DQSD. When I type Windows key S, sometimes I am placed in Forms mode, sometimes I am not placed in Forms mode, and I have to hit Enter to get into Forms mode, and I can find no rhyme or reason to why one happens and why the other happens. However, contrary to what you would think, being placed in Forms mode is not a definite advantage here. Because if you're placed in Forms mode, and you type a search string, and you hit Enter, nothing will happen. I found the most sure way to use the program is to exit Forms mode using the PC cursor key, and then hit Enter to go back into Forms mode. Then conduct the search. And even at that point, it isn't quite that simple because of one other little annoyance that could probably be rectified pretty easily if somebody wanted to do it. That is that when you are typing your search query, you get no feedback by backspacing or arrowing. I'm sure, like I say, scripting could solve this one, but I find it's something I can live with. But the downside of it is that sometimes, and I haven't really made a scientific study of how often, when I type in a search query and hit Enter, the previous search query remains in the box, which means that we end up with gibberish. So to avoid that, I have found that the wisest thing to do is, once I got myself out of Forms mode if need be, and then back in by hitting Enter, to simply hit Control-A and hit Delete, and then type the search string. So the process isn't quite as simple as I make it sound. You have to hit about four extra keystrokes before you can conduct your search. I don't find this to be a problem, but again, I tell you because maybe you will. Installing DQSD is a little bit of an interesting process. You download the installation program, or you can actually run it from its current location if you want to when you go to the website. Once you have run the installation routine, you have to activate the toolbar. Now, the mouse-oriented instructions that they give are completely useless. What I have found to work, and I have done this on a Windows XP Pro system, is to get to and bring up the context menu for the clock. Once you do that, choose Toolbars from the resulting menu, and once you have run the installation program and you're in the Toolbars menu, you will have a choice for Add Quick Search. Hit Enter, and no problem, you've got your toolbar for use. When you do this, there is a downside, although I don't find it to be much of a problem. You know how, and I'm assuming that for purposes of this discussion, that you have gone in on your own computer and disabled the Quick Launch toolbar, which is ordinarily located down at the bottom of the screen near the taskbar. You know how you can minimize all apps, hitting Windows key M usually, and go to the desktop, and from there you can tab to the Start menu button, the Start button actually, and from there you can tab to the taskbar. And if you're using Windows XP or ME anyway, you can tab to the system tray, and then you can tab back to the desktop. Once you install DQSD, you lose a little bit of that functionality. You can tab from the desktop to the Start button to the taskbar, and you can shift tab back to the desktop, but once you tab again from the taskbar, you actually have tabbed into the DQSD window. This is, in fact, another way of operating DQSD, and there are a couple of reasons why you might want to do it this way sometimes. You can't then tab around again to get to the desktop. You have to Alt-Tab away from here if you didn't want to be here, and then you can resume your ordinary computing operations. I mentioned that you might sometimes want to access DQSD by going to the desktop and tabbing around to it. I used to do it this way. I actually think it's a little more crash-prone to do it this way. There's some things you can do this way that, well, you do them otherwise if you use the Windows key S shortcut key. For one thing, there is an F1 menu. If you hit function key F1, it's supposed to bring down a menu when you're in DQSD. It does not do that when you hit Windows key S and access it that way. However, there's a workaround. If you type in the search box just the question mark character and hit Enter, you have the same information that you get off most of that on the menu. And one of the things you can do on the menu is configure DQSD. Well, you can't get to that through the menu if you use Windows key S, but what you do in the DQSD search box is type configure space DQSD and hit Enter, and you're then presented with the configuration options. There are some other utilities that are provided with DQSD, and I'm not sure how terribly valuable they are. For example, there's a countdown timer and there's an alarm clock. And on one test, when I tried using the countdown timer from the Windows key S standard approach of running the program, I crashed it. Now, I don't know if that'll happen again, but it might, and so that worked fine when I accessed the countdown timer from having tabbed around from the desktop and reached the DQSD window that way. The countdown timer isn't all that valuable. You type in a time interval of minutes, and when the minutes end, you get a little message box that pops up and tells you whatever the message you typed in. So it isn't a terribly bell-and-whistle-heavy countdown timer. And the alarm clock operates pretty much the same way. There is, by the way, a JavaScript calculator, and I haven't looked into this too far to know how useful it is, but you can operate this just fine from typing, getting Windows key S and being in the edit window. You type in a calculation, hit enter, then you hit PC cursor to turn forms mode off, and your result is right there ready for you to read. I don't know how elaborate a calculator this is, but it's just something that might be useful for somebody. Now, talk about crashes. I have occasionally, not often, less and less often it seems as I use the program more, I have crashed it every once in a while. When this occurs, you get a little window saying that Windows Explorer has to close. And from then on, in the computer session you're in, you can no longer use DQSD unless you do what I'm about to describe. Of course, you can reboot the computer and then DQSD is ready for you again. So if this happens, you have now restored the ability to tab around from the desktop and tab around your different desktop elements. So again, find and bring up the context menu for the clock. You'll probably find that once you get to the toolbar submenu that the DQSD, that the quick search choice is not checked now because the toolbar isn't there. If that's the case, well, first off, if it isn't the case, find quick search and hit enter to uncheck it, to turn it off, then go back into the toolbar submenu off of the context menu, find add quick search, and hit enter. This will reinstall and re-enable the toolbar for you. I talked about the fact that this little freebie is totally extensible. People are not at a huge rate of speed, but I've noticed that every couple weeks or so it seems like somebody adds a new search to it, and it really isn't too difficult to do, at least on a simple level. This is because Dave, and Dave, by the way, his name is Dave Bau, B-A-U, has provided a DQSD search wizard. I'll talk about this somewhat cryptically because in order to use it, you have to be a little bit familiar with toolbars and not be afraid to mess around with the right mouse button and JAWS cursor and all these kinds of things. So this may not be for everybody, but if you're willing to explore, it might be. What happens here is you have to go to the search page that whose search you want to add. For example, I added one for ACB Radio. So you go to ACB Radio's main site, you go to the search window, you hit enter to turn forms mode on, which activates the search so that it's visibly active. You also configure the search so that you click any radio buttons or any other buttons you might want to do so the search works the way you want it to do. Then you have to access a toolbar which you have installed from the DQSD website. This is the Dave's Quick Search Deskbar Wizard Toolbar. Now the Dave's Quick Search Deskbar Wizard Toolbar installs itself along with your other Internet Explorer toolbars. You may never have cared about your Internet Explorer toolbars up until this time. And when it does that, I found I had to go into the Customize Toolbars submenu, or dialog actually, off of Internet Explorer's Toolbars menu, and I had to raise the DQSD Search Wizard Toolbars priority so that it would stay on the screen, otherwise the other Internet Explorer toolbars would crowd it off my screen. Once I achieved this little feat, I was then able, once I wanted to add my search, to find the DQSD Search Wizard toolbar and click on it, and this brings up a dialog that you fill in the oldest shortcut key you want to use to launch the search, a description so that you can share the search with other people, and once you hit enter and you give the search a name, you have access to this search. Now there's more editing that is supposed to be required. In the two searches I've added, one was ACB Radio and one was one of my local newspapers, which has a nice free archive to its articles, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, so I can now hit SPI from DQSD and search the news on my local paper if I want to. That editing process I have not undertaken. Somebody who's got the time and motivation can certainly do that, and maybe I will do so sometime and make a more fancy search that has switches and is a little more streamlined. But I was able, without editing, to make those two searches work. Briefly, the DQSD search wizard apparently takes the HTML of the search page and converts it to XML and does some other things to it, so it'd be the XML that you're editing. However, you have plenty of searches to look at for examples to figure out how things are done, and I'm sure that the whole matter is quite learnable. The people who are involved with this little project encourage you to share your searches with others, and it's really easy to do, and they're various email lists that go along with the program, and of course the web page, and a nice place where you can download all these searches. So, will you find DQSD worth the effort? I do. I find it a great addition to my particular computing. Now, the documentation for it is available, as I talked about before, by typing question mark from within DQSD, and then that brings up the documentation. Then, once you're in there, it's kind of interesting because you have to go down and hit enter on the line that says expand all, even though it's not announced as a link. Once you hit enter on expand all, you're able to read all the different searches that are available to you, all their syntax, from within DQSD. There are a few things that are supposed to be possible that I have not figured out how to do, and I don't know that I will. You're supposed to be able to use that help feature to put in the search without having the syntax. I haven't figured out how to do that. I can certainly hit enter, but then all that happens is I'm taken to the search page. I haven't figured out how to find the search in the help window and then put in a search string. However, the fact is that for a lot of us, I think the fact that this is a simple command line utility is its beauty. If we're going to have to find a search within a list of 250 others, we might as well just go to the URL ourselves. The DQSD supposedly comes with a clock of its own. In fact, the documentation encourages you to turn off the Windows clock and use theirs to save taskbar space. I don't recommend you do that, even if you figure out how to use their clock, which I haven't ever found. If you right-click on their clock, there's a calendar that's supposed to come up with a pretty extensive database of holidays from different countries. Haven't ever managed to find that, but I also haven't looked very hard. Back to the documentation file, though. Having it available in this way through the web browser in the DQSD window is great as far as it goes, but for some of us, I know I liked being able to read through it, put it in my note taker, read through it, learn the syntax, have an easy way to reference it outside of there, so I turn it into a text file, and I'm going to make that text file available as a service to anybody who wants it through Autoresponder. If you want to get the 75 or 80 or so K file that exhaustively lists everything you can now do with DQSD, you can send an email message, just a blank message, to DQSD, that's Dave, Quick Search, Deskbar, at sound-computing.com. Because this is a bit of a hobby venture, this whole DQSD thing, and I have experience with it on my system, but not on a whole lot of others, I may or may not be able to help you if you have difficulties or if your results differ from mine. If I can, I'll be happy to try it, but I don't guarantee that I can offer any help. If you want to write to me, feel free to do so. You can send me a letter at DEAMAR, at sound-computing.com, and we'll see what happens. As I say, I find DQSD a great addition to my web searching repertoire. I've learned a lot from studying about it, and I hope I've passed some useful information on to you, and I am using it on an almost daily basis for one thing or another. Next time around, we're going to talk about the Google Toolbar, which won't help you search a whole lot, but it's going to do some other really wonderful things for you, as far as I'm concerned. So, until we do that, I hope you've gotten something from this, and this is Dean Martineau saying happy computing from the Pacific Northwest of North America.
Hello, this is DJC at acbradio.org with news and views I hope you can use.
Hello,
and very special greetings around the world once again. I'm Don Coco, and I'm with you from Sacramento, California. Today I'm taking a look at a card game called Suit Yourself SV. The card game is put out by the fine folks at GamesForTheBlind.com. You can play an evaluation of Suit Yourself SV for 15 days, and the registration cost is $20. This is Solitaire at its finest. If you have heard about Solitaire and never played it, now would be your chance to play it. This is pretty cool because they've adapted the Solitaire for speech. They use the Eloquent Technology speech in the game itself, so no screen reader is required. The game also may be played by sighted people. The idea behind Solitaire is to match cards. For example, you match all the red and black cards. They have different suits in the game: spades, hearts, clubs, and diamonds. The idea is to match all the diamonds, match all the clubs, match all the spades, and match all the hearts. But I don't mean take a heart, a two a heart, and then on top of that put a three a heart. You may not be able to do that depending on whether the card is the same color. If it's the same color, it won't match. So there is some strategy involved to playing Solitaire. It's a fun little pastime game if you're awake late at night and can't sleep. It's a fun little game. Let's take a look at it right now. And we'll play just a sample of the game. We won't play the entire game. It takes a while to play each game. Probably a good 10 to 15 minutes. But we'll at least get you started and show you a little bit about the game. Let's go to the start menu right now in the program group. And we are going to go to the an area that says Accessible Games. And we're going to hit return on that. And we have Accessible Suit Yourself. We're going to hit return on that. And we have Accessible Suit Yourself SV. We are going to hit return on that. As soon as I do this, the Eloquent Technology speech will come on and you'll hear that.
So welcome to Accessible Suit Yourself. Difficulty level.
Now we have several different difficulty levels. The first thing I want to do here is I want to turn my screen reader off. No screen reader is required, and in order to play this game, you should shut off the screen reader. So I'm going to do that, and I've now done that. And now,
difficulty level, beginner colon 4 shuffles, 1 of 3.
I can arrow up and down to see what the different areas are. I'm in a list box now.
Intermediate colon 3 shuffles.
So we have 4 shuffles is the beginner level, 3 shuffles is the intermediate level, and
expert colon 2 shuffles.
2 shuffles is the expert level. This game is played using the numpad on the right side of the keyboard, and basically you'll be using the plus key primarily. So let's, it doesn't matter which area I choose here, so let's,
intermediate colon 3 shuffles.
I'll just say intermediate. Hit return.
This game begins with the 6 of hearts and the foundation. The top card on the waste pile is the queen of clubs.
Now, on the waste pile, there are 2 piles, okay? The idea, or the object here, is to move the card from the waste pile to the foundation. The foundation is the main area of the game. So basically, the idea is to pick up a card and move it. Now, I have a queen of clubs at the top. Can I play it? I'll find out by hitting return on the game here.
You cannot play this card at this time. The base suit is hearts.
I cannot play this card. So what I'm going to do is I need to find a card, and I need to draw until I find a card that I can play. Let's hit the plus key on the right side of the keypad.
You drew the ace of clubs.
I drew the ace of clubs. Now can I play that?
You cannot play this card at this time. The base suit is hearts.
Let's hit plus key again.
You drew the 10 of spades.
Aha. Now I may be able to play this. Let's hit return.
You cannot play this card at this time.
Can't play that one either.
The base suit is hearts.
Huh. Can't play spades, can't play clubs, can't play hearts. And I'll tell you why. This I do know why. You can't play these cards because you need to play hearts first. So let's keep going.
You drew the ace of spades. You drew the eight of hearts.
Okay, I can play that though. Let's do that.
Moving eight of hearts to foundation. Top card is ace of spades.
There we go. We've now done that.
You drew the 7 of clubs. You drew the 3 of spades. You drew the 5 of hearts. Moving 5 of hearts to foundation. Top card is 3 of spades. You drew the 2 of clubs. You drew the 6 of clubs. You drew the jack of diamonds. You cannot play this card at this time.
You can't play that one either.
The base suit is hearts.
The base suit is hearts. You do need to play that. Now, we can find out. We can get information in the game. For example, we can hit insert F5.
Jacks is empty.
Jacks is empty. Or we can hit F5.
Top card is jack of diamonds.
That'll always tell you what the top card is. So if you get confused, you can do that. There is help in this game to give you some hints and overviews. For example, if say I want keyboard help, I can press F3 on the keyboard. You have function keys up on top, F1, F2, and F3. Let's hit F3 right now.
The keyboard commands available from the waist are colon enter key, move top card on waist to foundation, numpad plus, draw new card from stock, numpad 5, read top card and waist, numpad insert and numpad 5, read top card and foundation, page up, move to foundation, tab key, move to foundation, page down, read status lines. Special notes colon keyboard commands are provided using the keys on the calculator numpad, usually found on the right side of your keyboard. Using these keys, it is possible to play an entire game using just one hand, positioned on the numpad keys. In order to use the numpad to issue commands, the numlock must be off. To turn the numlock off, press and release the numlock key on the top left of the numpad. If you issue a command from a numpad key and nothing happens, try turning off the numlock, as described above. This game uses the word stock to refer to the shuffled deck of cards, placed face down. This game uses the word waste to refer to the discard pile, which are placed face up. To avoid confusion, you cannot move to the stock. Instead, while in the waste, press the numpad plus key to draw a card from the stock. When cards are drawn from the stock, they will be displayed face up in the waste. Only the top card in the waste is visible. When you press the numpad 5 key, the center key, the game will tell you the top card in the waste. When you press the insert key on the numpad and the 5 key on the numpad together, the game will tell you the top card in the foundation for the top card in the waste. For example, if the top card in the waist is the 4 of hearts, pressing the numpad insert and 5 key together will tell you the top card in the 4's foundation, or it will say 4's is empty if there are no cards in the 4's foundation box. Since the base suit is very important, you may press the page down key to read the status lines at the bottom of the game screen window. The base suit is displayed in the status lines along with the number of card shuffles, the number of cards in the stock, and the number of cards in the waist. Note colon the key colon numpad insert is the 0 key on the calculator numpad, and is the big key in the numpad's bottom left corner. Press the F2 function key for further assistance and an explanation of the term base suit. Press the F1 function key to display the help topics for this program.
As you can see, they give you a lot of information there. And
close button.
We're going to close the window.
Waste pile. Top card is jack of diamonds.
They also have some options in this game. We'll talk about those right now. We have options here. Let's go under the press the Alt key.
Game menu.
And we have the game menu. We can down arrow.
New game control plus N.
New game control N.
Exit program.
And exit.
New game control plus N.
It's the first menu.
Speech unchecked.
Then we have a speech menu, and the speech is turned on. Now, you could turn the speech off, so a sighted person could play the game without speech.
Global voice dot 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 insert plus G.
Global voice insert plus G.
Review voice dot 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 insert plus R.
Review voice insert plus R.
Speak object types.
Speak object types.
Maximum speech.
And maximum speech.
Speech unchecked.
Now, all these refer to the way you have the speech set up, or the way you will set up the speech. You can adjust the rate and the pitch and all that sort of
top
thing.
Top card is jack of diamonds.
And they also have some voices that come with this game, so you can change the voice if you choose to do that.
You drew the 9 of spades. You drew the king of clubs. You drew the 3 of clubs. You drew the 4 of spades. You drew the 6 of diamonds. You drew the 5 of diamonds. You drew the 3 of diamonds. You drew the 10 of clubs. You drew the king of diamonds. You drew the 4 of clubs. You drew the 9 of hearts. Moving 9 of hearts to foundation. Top card is 4 of clubs.
Now let's down arrow. They said here that you could get information. Let's do that. Let's see if we can read the status line.
Base suit is hearts. Shuffle 1 of 3. 29 cards in stockpile. 19 cards in waste pile. F1 equals help. F2 equals spoken help. F3 equals keyboard commands.
So as you see, they do give you some information. It is a great little solitaire game. If you just want to pass some time, it's fun to play. It's called Accessible Suit ESV. It's available from gamesfortheblind.com.
Feel free to email djc@acbradio.org with your thoughts and comments. Until next time, Don Coco thanking you for listening.
That's all from Main Menu this week. Don't forget, of course, we always welcome your contributions. Drop us a line to mainmenu@acbradio.org.
We are the American Council of the Blind. We are blind and visually impaired men and women who come from every community within our country. We are tall, short, old, and young. Some of us are athletes, and some of us are couch potatoes, while most of us fall somewhere in between. We reflect every ethnic, religious, and racial group within our society. Some of us who received quality education and sound training are working successfully in virtually every profession. Psychologists, auto mechanics, administrators, computer analysts, cooks, and engineers. We are the American Council of the Blind, working to ensure the right to opportunity for education, training, employment, and a meaningful life for all Americans, including those of us who are blind or who have a significant vision loss. For more information, contact us by phone at 800-424-8666 or join us on our website at www.acb.org, the American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
ACB Radio.org.
You're invited to come on over to Our Place. Our Place is a voice chat community that is now part of the ACB Radio portal. Here, people from around the world can hang out and chat in real time about a wide range of topics using the latest iVocalize technology. Our Place is now open. To join, just come on over and have some great conversation at http://ourplace.acbradio.org. That's ourplace.acbradio.org. The chat room software installs automatically, and all you need is a microphone connected to your sound card. It's easier than walking and chewing gum at the same time. So come on over. We'll be looking for you at Our Place. That's ourplace.acbradio.org.